That's right. You better think about it. This is Dr. Gene Mesko back with Mostly Hairless Apes. And we're going at it again. Been a little bit. Got caught up in the holidays. It's December 4th, 2025, recording this one. For my one or two patrons out there. But once again, it's a good therapy session for me. So we're going to go with that and work from there. So what do we got going on here? Think is another Biobel suggestion. Thinking is, this might actually be the closest thing to a commandment that we have in the evolving Church of Science here at Mostly Hairless Apes. Because thinking, arguably, is our best skill. Came about with, after we had opposable thumbs and we figured out what to do with them, how to build things. That's what's allowed us to take over the planet. And it's at the core of our definition of civilization, that you have to have a belief system, that you have to believe in something to cover what we don't know. Knowledge is reality. Knowledge is our interpretation of reality. Knowledge says this gravity works. Electricity is tiny little particles that can move through wires if we spin a magnet or do other things. And all that fun physics and chemistry and biology and science gives us knowledge. And when we have all that knowledge, we can manipulate reality. That's a very cool thing, I think. But then we're always left with ignorance. We don't know. We don't know what dark matter is. We don't know what dark energy is. We think, you know, we've got theories of gravity and cells and all these things, and there could be other life forms out there. We don't know. So we got to have a belief system, which means we have to think. And arguably, Homo sapiens, us humans, evolved the ability to think at least 50,000 years ago. That's the bare minimum. That's the oldest artifacts we have that reflect art and creativity. Although we were probably thinking before that too, because we figured out fire. We've had fire probably for a million years. So, and tool use beyond that for 2 million years. So we've been thinking for millions of years. You know, when you look at the ideas of other humans, like Homo Neanderthals, the Neanderthalensis, these guys were thinking, they were making tools. They didn't do as much art as Homo sapiens, which is probably why they went extinct about 40,000 years ago. They couldn't think better than us. We could think better than them. So when we ran into them in Asia and Europe, all the places they'd spread out when Homo sapiens came out of Africa 100,000 years ago, we outthought them. We weren't bigger than them. If you look at the musculature, most of us would have lost a fight to Homo Neanderthalensis if you were going to just do a wrestling match. But as Lao Tzu says in The Art of War, it's about outthinking your enemy. You know, you can beat somebody even though they might have more resources or more numbers. Strategy and thinking, that's what really makes us human. And that's where we are today, with a lack of thinking. We've got artificial intelligence, and we've got all these machines that give us knowledge, that give us information about how the world works and what things happened in history, and a lot of distractions, a lot of amusement. I think that's one of the challenges of the day, because if we really want to build a better civilization, a more perfect union, one of the things we have to do is think our way out of our troubles. We got to solve problems. What's your problem? That's the deal. My problem is stupidity. Now, my main problem is not enough humans think. They get caught up in stuff, and that's the hazard of religion, which is why I'm pretty much anti-religion. Whether you don't mean to offend anyone, but if you accept the reality of a deity out there without having an appropriate amount of doubt about your and confidence in it. This idea, this is why churches for years now have pushed the idea, oh, you have to have faith, you have to have absolute faith, because that stops your thinking. When you accept that you've got it figured out, that God has got it figured out. If I have one more student tell me, or any human, oh, God will work it out, and then they're bitching and moaning about their problems, I'm going to say to them, you are not very human. Because if you give up thinking, you stop trying to solve your own problems, you are ripe for the picking. You are going to get taken over by things like the terrible tangerine, the mango marauder that is in the, that is currently serving as number 47. He's a con man, and we all know this. If you don't know this, you're an idiot, and you've not thought about it enough, because that's the deal. You have to think. And when you think about how our current political system works, this current political system is based on popularity. We're still default to this. Who would we like to sit down and have a beer with? Who would be a good guy to hang out with? No. And that's just foolish, because leadership is a skill. Leadership is something we should acknowledge is a skill that people develop. And some people, and the only question then is, what are they leading us towards? Because leaders come in all shapes and sizes, and sexes and genders and all that fun stuff, different colors. But the idea of leading is you convince people that you've got a solution to the problems. That's why we follow anybody else. Because if we could figure out our own problems, we don't need anybody else. When you're happy, when you're content, you've got all your problems figured out. You don't have any significant problems. That's when you're happy. You know, Teddy Roosevelt said, do what you can with what you have where you are. And when you hit a state of contentment, you go, okay, I'm good. And then you don't have to worry about things. But if you think about stuff and you realize, oh, there's bigger problems, then even if you've got your problem solved, if you're a fat old white guy like me with a decent retirement plan, you think, I can just hang out and not do anything. But if you're human, if you're really human and you think, then you start looking beyond yourself. Even when you solve your own problems, you say, well, are there other issues that need to be resolved? Because I'd like to do other things, but I can't. Because I don't have the resources, because we live in this capitalist system that distributes resources relatively unequitably. If you think about it, we have lots of problems. But what do we use to solve them? We use the market. The market is how we solve our problems. We say, oh, people will pay for it, whatever people are willing to pay for. And because we don't think about what we pay for, we spend our dollars on all sorts of things. We complain about, you know, Amazon and Google and all these big corporations. But guess what? As long as we patronize them and send money their way, they're going to keep growing and getting bigger. And they're going to consume the competition as it goes along, because that's what organisms do. That's growth. That's the other side of life. Governing life can either be done by natural selection or by artificial selection. And artificial selection is what we do when we think. When we think about something, that's when we start wrestling with possibilities. That's imagination. That's thinking. Because if we're not thinking, then we're just acting. Then we're responding to hormones and urges and instincts and pheromones and all those fun things that circulate around our body that have kept animals alive for hundreds of millions of years. Now, life's been around, cells have been around for billions of years, but animals only go back 600-700 million, maybe 800-900 million. But yeah, well, we could round it off at 1 billion. Probably the first things that were motile, heterotrophic, multicellular organisms is how we would define animals. And whether or not they had nervous tissue or muscular tissue, we can get into the biology and the anatomy, but animals, like humans, have been around for hundreds of millions of years, doing fine, and they do fine by thinking, without thinking. We can get by on reactions and instincts and feelings and emotions, all those fun things that biology has evolved through natural selection to solve problems. How do we take care of infants? How do we feed infants? How do we keep reproduction going? Because if you don't keep reproduction going, the species dies out. You go extinct. It's pretty basic. But let's go back to humans then. At some point, we branched off. And there are other ones that could think. If there were other humans, and I'm including here, as most paleontologists and anthropologists would, I think, you know, and biologists, all the way back to when we branched off from our common ancestor with chimpanzees. About 6 million years ago, whatever were chimps and humans were the same species, or something happened. We could get into the genetics of the chromosomal fusion that occurred to give us 23 pairs of chromosomes and left chimpanzees with 24 chromosome pairs. And then, therefore, we couldn't make functional babies anymore. So we split apart into different populations and eventually evolved into different species. And we gave rise to Ardipithecus and Australopithecus and Homo habilis and Homo erectus and Homo neanderthalensis and Homo sapiens. And all of those things that went on with how to make a human. And we did it because we could think. That was our biggest adaptation. I mean, chimps have opposable thumbs, and they're tool users. They can dig ants out of a hill and make a few basic tools. They'll chip some things. Other monkeys will do it, too. Even birds will drop stuff and use sticks to get food out of something. So tool use is not necessarily a criterion of thinking. But thinking, I think, is imagination. Really human-level thinking. Is this ability to think of alternative realities. That's the key thing. That's where art comes in. That's why I use the cutoff of about 50,000 years when we find our oldest artifacts that are art. That humans created something other than just a useful tool. Tools give you an edge. Sure. And you have to think about it to a certain extent. But it's just seeing the reality that's there. It's seeing the shape in the stone that you could chip off the flint to make a blade that then you could kill an animal with and eat it. That's knowledge. That's thinking about knowledge. But thinking about belief and art, what could I make? What could I sculpt out of this thing? What could I paint on the wall in the caves? What can I do to think about how to organize our system? And that's we've been doing that for tens of thousands of years at least. And for most of that time, we were just hunter-gatherers. We were working in our small groups, wandering around the planet, bumping into each other, competing or cooperating and trading, or whatever it took to survive and reproduce. And the ones that eventually got to us figured out agriculture and were able to build big empires and take over the planet. And that's what we've been doing for the last 10,000 years, building these systems. And we found that the way to control large groups is to use belief systems, that everybody's got to have the same idea in their head about what the rules could be or should be. We know what the natural rules are. If you don't understand reality, that's common sense. Common sense is things roll downhill. The rain's going to get you wet. You can't breathe underwater forever if you're a human. Then all of these things that are knowledge about reality, that's just knowledge of the natural world. And if you don't understand that, if you don't have a memory for all that, you're not going to make it. You're going to die out. And so thousands of species have been doing that. But humans can think. We can create stuff. We can create new stuff because we can think about how to recombine nature, how to manipulate rocks and plants and animals and make new things, and make art and technology. That's the beauty of humanity. And it's all because we can think. And I've been a teacher in college for decades. I'm grateful for the opportunity to retire because I'm so tired. What I've seen trending more and more over the last few years is a lack of thinking. It's people being overwhelmed by what seeming complexity of life. We've built up this global civilization. We have information at our fingertips. And so why is the answer from so many students the last few years of, why do I have to know this stuff? I can just look it up. The idea that you should actually understand the material and be able to solve a problem for somebody, because that's what somebody's going to pay you for. That's why AI is coming along. That's why AI is pushed for by people who think, the people who are leaders in our society, the people who are in charge, because AI replaces stupid humans. We have too many humans. You go to them, we've hit that's really the boundary of civilization right there. Because if you have a system which requires people to only react, If they're going to accept whatever rules are put out there without thinking about them, and they're going to react to those rules, and that's what they think is important, and they can't think a way around them, then they're just automatons. They're just soulless automatons, because God will take care of it, or the boss will take care of it, or somebody else will take care of it, but I don't have to worry about it. I'm just going to watch my games and play my games and watch my videos and go and find my food, and I'm going to stay alive and then fuck around if I can, maybe make babies even. But the idea that there should be any purpose or that there should be any goal is not present for a lot of humans, as far as I can tell. I thought going to college, I faced a decision. I was thinking about this a little while ago when I went to grad school. I thought, do I want to be a PhD or an MD? And I thought about the money. Could make way more money being a medical doctor because you solve problems. Medical doctors get paid money because they solve problems. They get paid a lot more money. Whereas what does a PhD do? You solve your problems. You think about things. And you do research questions, but getting an answer to a research question, peeling back the onion skins of reality and finding the next little layer of how molecules interact, which is the route I took, is that's where biology is right now. It's caught up in all the molecular stuff. But I want to turn it around. We've taken the molecular stuff down to the literally to the atomic level. There are atomic force microscopes out there that allow people to manipulate atoms. We can build things literally up from the atom. We don't have atomic level printers, but that'll be really cool somewhere in the future when we have atomic level 3D printers and we'll be able to build stuff up from the freaking atomic level, taking elemental atoms and combining them in whatever combinations we want. Because the only ones we have now, or however living systems have manipulated them, the most complex molecules we have are the ones evolved in living systems. And we're trying to recreate those, and we are. We're building proteins from scratch. We have the capability to synthesize unique amino acid chains, which is basically new genetics. We're creating new genes, because that's all life was for billions of years of life on Earth. That's what biology tells us, that genetics is the information for life. That genetics provides the blueprint of DNA, which then gets used to synthesize primarily proteins, which then are the tools, the technology that cells use to stay alive and possibly combine into big multicellular organisms. And that's all controlled by the DNA until you get to organisms who can really think. And that's us. Because that's what we're doing. We're going back and we're understanding DNA. We can manipulate DNA. We can alter organisms' evolution right now, because we can insert genes and remove genes and turn off genes and turn on genes to be expressed in different organisms at different times. And we're working out all the mechanics of that. And we understand, any real biologist understands that those mechanisms have evolved over billions of years. And because we can think and we can map out how they've evolved and the patterns they use and the forces at play, we can manipulate them. We can change them, just like we use gravity to manipulate hydroelectric power and space flight. And we use electromagnetism to manipulate energy. All these theories we have that explain the natural world. But what we don't do is we don't think enough about what we should be doing. What's our next problem? How do we solve it? Because the main tool we use right now socially to organize our systems, we've all settled on capitalism is the main idea. And all capitalism does is create a social system that says, how do you create cash flow? How do you convert human effort, work, into dollars or yen or euros or whatever? That's where Americans are about to get slapped upside the head. If you don't understand BRICS, the BRICS nations and what they're doing, or cryptocurrency, is dollars are going to take a big hit somewhere in the future. They're just like the pound. Empires don't last forever. We've peaked. America has peaked. Whether we're off the peak or not is debatable. You can talk to the political scientists. But the point is, nothing lasts forever. Evolution teaches us things always change. And the dollar is not going to be the primary world currency forever. And when it collapses, when it decreases in value, it might not collapse anytime soon, but it's going to decrease in value because we've stopped thinking and stopped working. We've farmed out a lot of stuff. We've become this consumer nation that has all these, that has farmed out a lot of our industry. We're trying to break it back a little bit, but we're basically bailing water out of a sinking ship at the moment. But we've got a lot of resources, and if we think about it, we could solve our problems. We could say capitalism is a really neat system, but it should really be goal-oriented. It should be goal-oriented toward something other than just making more dollars. That's the function of capitalism at the core level, is how do I make more money? And if you've ever heard anybody say, oh, they weren't happy with just, oh, I should have spent more time at home or whatever it was. Because that's, to me, that's the only thing that gives the quality of life, are the experiences we can have. How do we relate to other humans? How can I see more things, do more things, make more things? And that's all enabled by having more cash. But that's the thing. We have to think about it. We have to think beyond just making cash. This is the terrible tangerine sells the idea that, oh, everybody should just have more money. Well, that's a really neat idea, but obviously he's sucking up a lot of it along with all of his buddies, Elon and Jeff and all those guys. They all suck up money because we have this weird thing called ownership. We have this capitalism that says, oh, because I started something, I gave a push to this thing. And if I can get a bunch of people to do this, I can skim off a huge amount of the wealth that's created from the efforts of all these other people. And all I'm saying is the wealth should be a little more equitably distributed. Ideas are valuable. I concede that point, that the idea of how to make a business work. But once the business is up and running, that's it. We should just cap it. And that's the huge idea right there, because that's all it takes. That's the big thing we have to think about. The biggest thing we can think about is how do we stop something from going too far? Because that's what we have right now. That's the problem with pollution and climate change. Things shift. And what we should focus on is how to maintain stability. Because we've been in a growth mode as a human, as our human civilizations. What's been the dominant civilizations on Earth for the last few centuries? It's been colonialism. It's been capitalism interwoven with colonial empires that grew out of the monarchies of Europe, where modern science primarily evolved. And people had enough resources that once we started making, we figured out a few things. We figured out some basic technologies like navigation and weaponry. You know, the Chinese invented gunpowder, but Europeans took it to an art form of making military weapons. And for several centuries, all through the 1500s, 1600s, we had the Spanish Empire take over the planet, then we had the British Empire. And then in the 20th century, it all blew up because we had these empires run by kings and dictators until we hit the atomic age and we found a limit. And that should have taught us something. Atomic energy tells us that there are limits, because atomic energy can make bombs that can wipe out entire cities. And we realize there are limits to what we should be doing. And warfare is one of those things we should realize is an amazing amount of resource wasting. We shouldn't be fighting about who has which land. That's what fucking Putin and the Ukraine is screwing up. How much money are we pissing away on all those tanks and jet fighters and missiles, drones, and all of that stuff, when we could be spending it on schools and laboratories and art studios and all this other stuff that makes life so much better? But no, we're doing it because certain people have no limits. The people in charge have been unbounded. They've been turned free, and they think they can do whatever they want. And that's the problem with rich people. That's the thinking. I think that's our biggest problem right now. And that's the problem everybody on the planet should be looking at, saying, you know what? We don't need to listen to these people anymore. We need to stop building stuff. We need to just stabilize. What do we need to stabilize? We need to stabilize the climate. We need to figure out energy resources. We need to figure out how to get everybody up to the speed with civilization. We need to figure out how to educate everybody so that they can fucking think. And they can think with the... I think I shut something off there. I'm not sure where I ended. Stop for a second. Let's